A friend of mine recently started playing in the pickleball league at a large church near him. And recently that church brought Christmas to the pickleball court by celebrating what it called Grace Night. Grace Night turned the usual rules of how the church runs its pickleball games upside down. Rather than a winning team holding the court, the losing team got to stay on and choose their new partner, while the winning team had to sit or find somewhere else to play. In this way, strong players had to partner with the weak ones. And if you know pickleball, I don't know if there are any pickleball players here tonight, that means that the strong players could poach efficiently while the weaker players focused on defending their two-fifths of the court. That way of playing was outside the usual framework of competition and elimination, and it created a focus on teamwork. It's a good way to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. For in this child that's born, God changes all the rules. In him, this child, our strong and beautiful God comes to us, not with the overwhelming glory of victory, not with rewards for winners, but as a humble, naked baby among people too poor to build extra space for visitors. So many of us who go to Bethlehem to see him know that we too are weak players. Consider what we've learned these last 2 years. We cannot on our own defeat a virus or return our world to normal. In our personal lives, we cannot mend, reconcile broken relationships. Our own bodies, we cannot make healthy just by willing them so. We cannot fix a warming climate. When you know your weakness, it's hard to believe that you have anything to contribute. And as Brendan Manning writes, we all know how difficult it is to receive anything from anyone who has all the answers when we know ourselves to be weak, to receive anything from someone who's completely cool, utterly afraid, needing nothing, and in control of every situation. So God comes as a newborn baby, giving us a chance to love him and making us feel as though we've got something to give. That's what grace is. It's favor that we do not deserve. It's an angel surprising shepherds in a field. It's the gift of God being at work inside of our limitations and our fragility and even our failures to bring blessing. But the good news of this night is that this grace does not come only to us. Because it is grace, it comes, and because it comes quite undeserved, it comes to all. I bring you good news, the angel says, but the good news that you hear is not only for you, but it is for all people. This God who comes in the flesh for you comes also to bless the world beyond the borders of your little field. Outside the streets whose curves you know, he's born in Bethlehem, but he's also willing to be born anywhere to give people a chance to love him. His stable is in the city you would never want to visit, or down the dirt road you've never driven because you aren't sure your car can handle the washboard ruts. The book of Titus, which Karen read for us just a few moments ago, tells us that in Jesus the grace of God appeared. The upside down reign of God appeared, bringing salvation to who? To all. Notice that there's no qualifier there about who grace is for or where God will focus God's healing help. It's not the grace of God appeared bringing salvation for those who believe it, or the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation to those who know about it, or God. It's not that God is bringing salvation to those who've shaped up their lives and are doing the work. No, the grace of God has appeared and has brought salvation to all. I have a few friends who tell me from time to time, now and then, that they don't believe in God. Maybe they tell me that to yank my chain. But in the light of Christmas, in the light of Grace Night, these words always tug on in me a deeper mystery. If the good news is not just for the shepherds who hear it, but for all people, then that must mean that whatever they think about God, well, God believes in them. And God is still at work around them. And so all of our relationships are lived out in this light of the glowing upside down reign of God. Oh, when it comes to this faith thing, we're all such weak players. But the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. We read those words from Titus every year. It's a scripture that our church assigns for every Christmas Eve. And I will confess, though, that until this year, I have never been a fan of reading that passage on this particular night. It always feels like a short piece that we're just trying to get through until we can get to the main story. If you listened along as Karen was reading, the passage continues by saying that the grace of God trains us to renounce impiety and worldly passions and to live in the present age, to live lives that are self-controlled and upright and godly. I don't know, to me, always those words somehow, training, impiety, renouncing, passions. Somehow it's always seemed like a cross between ethics class and gym class on a night when I want to sing with the angels and rejoice with the shepherds and ponder with Mary the words of the birth story in my heart. But this year, I hear that little snippet differently. I hear it deepening the story of angels and shepherds. Maybe it's because of all that we've experienced these last two pandemic years. Maybe it's because now kindness seems so special in a world that's so easily overcome by frustration. Maybe it's the way that a little restraint of an individual's part can serve everyone's flourishing. Maybe it's just the awareness now that every single relationship we have is always in need of just a little grace, a little ease, a little letting up on the rules. And so is every person in need of grace, whether we know them or not. And so this year, I hear the strange second lesson, not as a command to try to act better so that we can be worthy of Christmas, for that would just be the rules as we've always known them, getting what we've earned. But I hear them now as an invitation to live more deeply in the joyful way that God upends the rules of the game. To live in the ways that God comes to live among us and bless us, even in our weakness, especially in our weakness. For Christmas is not a one-off exception to the way things normally work. The stable door of Bethlehem is a portal into the very heart of God. We were made for grace. We were made for Jesus Christ. And so maybe those school-like words tell us how to live that way. Maybe to renounce impiety means renouncing the idea that there can be some limits on God's grace. And maybe saying goodbye to worldly passions means to say to a world that's always telling us that we're worth more when we earn more, when we are more, when we prosper more. Maybe renouncing worldly passions is saying goodbye to all of that. For yes, there are many ways in which none of us are those things. I certainly know there are many ways that I failed when I feel my limits. But lo, we have seen this poor child, and in his infant face, our souls can feel their worth. And maybe to be godly simply means rejoicing that God sees the truth of all of us, and he loves us anyway. For the grace of God has appeared with angels and to shepherds. God has given you nothing less than himself, which is reason for great rejoicing. Amen.